KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at Guarantee RV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
And we welcome you, Sports Talk, the 4 o'clock hour has arrived. All eyes right now on, well, at least mine. I really can't speak for a lot of people. Nick is back in the Cumulus Studios. I am in my spare room doing the radio show. I've got ESPN on. They've got a live shot of Sabrina's family, Satu, who is there with some friends of hers, Megan Walker of UConn, who also came out a little early. Lauren Cox, the magnificent frontliner from Baylor. Bella Ilari, the Ivy Leaguer from Princeton. And Ruthie Hebert also in there. Tyasha Harris. I mean, no shortage of talent poised to go in this draft. And man alive, the back page of the New York Post is a keepsake. My dad has it. I'm going to tell him to keep it. And maybe if somebody behaves themselves, I'll give it to him as a gift. it says, "Get ready, NY. Sabrina Ionescu is coming to town, ready to torch the WNBA. It's got a picture of her in her duck uniform pointing. And it says, just one thing that the New York Post gets right, sensationalistic headlines, and it just says Lady Liberty. And I talked to a buddy of mine who I actually worked with in college radio 700 years ago, and he's a big fan of the league, big hardcore New York fan. I mean, you put an NY on it and he is absolutely all in. And he says the Liberty have never, ever had a player like this to get the fan base excited. I mean, you could imagine you ignite the Big Apple. The sky is the limit. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if there's something you perhaps would like to discuss. We could do it that way. We could go via the text line, 321-0824. Of course, next week, we will be talking NBA draft. We did that today with Tony Pauline of the Believe Podcast Network. And it provided some good insight as he's been hunkered down like he's been for years and years and years, just about 30 miles north of Manhattan in Westchester County, and providing some good insight into Justin Herbert, the situation with Marcus Mariota in Vegas. Ha, got it right again. That's two in a row. Not to mention what he thought about Joe Burrow going first. Then I asked him some specifics, his whole process and kind of weighing the value of seeing guys play, Senior Bowl, Pro Day, Combine, how he arrives at his final decision, along with the specifics of what teams like the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Raiders are going to be focused on heading into Thursday's draft. And we'll get that posted in a little bit in case you didn't get a chance to hear it. Good stuff from Tony, kind of a hardcore New Yorker. And if you go to his Twitter account at Tony Pauline, you could tell he, like me from my generation, a real hardcore fan of the band, the almighty Led Zeppelin. All right. I don't think you're going to find a funnier story today than this adult site offering Joe Buck $1 million to provide live play-by-play commentary for cam shows. And you're thinking, well, why didn't any commentary? Because they're aimed at their blind users. And Buck, I know he rubs some of you the wrong way. I don't get it. I mean, he's a terrific announcer. And he says, you know, he's highly qualified and been practicing these calls most of his life. But he thinks there needs to be an open audition. And he said they should seek Jim Nance, Al Michaels, and Mike Tirico, and all the others who do what he does to audition. And then he said, that's all he can commit to at this time. He's never been more flattered. And he says he knows his dad would be proud. People, you cannot make this crap up. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. All right. So here we sit. A story, and later on in the show, we'll talk with Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. The new magazine is out, really is a collector's edition, and he's got a four-part series on the University of Oregon's four rock star athletes. Number one is Steve Prefontaine, and there are some really just dynamite photos in there, plus, you know, thoughts on comings and goings, some of the transfers. My Mallard musings had to do with the draft, the NBA draft, the WNBA draft, the history of it for Oregon, and I had a lot of fun putting that together. So yeah, we'll talk with JT at 5:30. I want to play a part of Ruthie Hebert speaking with the media yesterday about, you know, this kind of magical day for her that started out with, you know, her coming from Fairbanks. If you got a chance to watch the Ruthie and Sabrina special on the Pac-12 Network, it's off the charts great. And you learn that, you know, as great a player as she is, and the chances of her, you know, becoming a top 10 pick are highly likely. She'll be a first-round pick, pretty sure of that. That, you know, there were a lot of people who, a lot of coaches who were a little hesitant. Like, yeah, real good player, talent, skill, kind of a traditional post player, but was what you were seeing statistically real? Because, you know, being from Fairbanks, Alaska, not a densely populated, not known for being a basketball hotbed, and the guy who was really insistent that she be recruited and be given the opportunity to become a Duck was one of Kelly's assistants, Mark Campbell. So just in case you haven't seen that, definitely, you know, regardless of how the draft goes tonight, which is, you know, if you're a fan of hers and the program and the women's game, you're focused on the draft right now. But it's great. It's so well done. I guess the best compliment I could give to the folks at the Pac-12 Network is it reminded me of a 30 for 30, which is just always a home run. And, you know, during that, you see great shots of practice, the communication, Coach Graves, the camaraderie. You know, you see Sabrina's mom and dad, Eddie, her brother, her twin, Ruthie's parents. And, you know, it's insightful. You learn some things like we think now the comparison between Hebert and Ionescu and Stockton and Malone. Well, ironically, Sabrina's first year, you didn't see a lot of pick and roll. That was Maite's job. And she talks about Coach Graves were like, that wasn't sure that was going to be her thing, because in college, her style was more dribble drive. I would say they ended up being pretty good at the pick and roll. And you see just some of the highlights. I mean, we see it in real time up close and personal. But then you realize not only the way they were in sync, but Hebert's hands, just she doesn't drop anything. I mean, you get the ball to her on the post, the various methods which you could make an entry pass, and just her ability to just have the ball and finish layup. I mean, we know she set the record for most consecutive shots made, the percentage of shots she made. And there's some people questioning, you know, at this level where you bigger, stronger, faster, is she going to have to develop somewhat of a mid-range jumper? And there's going to be a growth process because, let's face it, you don't become a high-level college player than a high-level pro without having an ego, without being driven, and without having a cutthroat competitive nature. And while fans are all going to be excited about Sabrina becoming the latest member of the New York Liberty and a top overall pick, it's not like the rest of the league is going to be like, oh, Queen Sabrina, yes, we bow before you. Please have a free path to the basket. I mean, there's always going to be the vets and those who have accomplished certain things already at the WNBA level who are absolutely going to be like, welcome to the league, rook. So and not that she doesn't have to make up to take that and understand it, but there were just the moments, the camaraderie. I thought one of the most telling things that I saw was as Hebert and Ionescu were sitting side by side, and whoever was doing the interview, there were various members of the media who just did a great job, referred to them as fire and ice. And Sabrina was like, well, who's fire? Who's ice? And aren't they the opposites? Because her take was they're more alike. So she settled on them being peanut butter and jelly because they mix and blend so well together. And, of course, those of us who've been longtime college basketball fans remember the original fire and ice at the collegiate level was in the men's game, 89-90-91, North Carolina State, still under Jim Valvano then, with Rodney Monroe and Chris Corciani. Were fire and ice. And, you know, you went through the whole emotional roller coaster ride of the passing of Kobe and his daughter and the seven other people who perished in that awful helicopter crash. And, her playing that night against Oregon State, then going down to the memorial, giving that heartfelt, wonderful speech. And you realized at that time, I mean, how close she was with them, and then the whirlwind of taking a flight from that morning up to Stanford. And, we talked with Miren Fader, who wrote that fantastic piece in Bleacher Report about her, and Sabrina's got like no recollection of that day. So, yeah, we're getting to the draft, but I would also encourage you to check the Pac-12 network to see that special. Unfinished business because, you know, when Sabrina decided to forego being the number one pick in last year's draft, she came back with one purpose in mind. Yeah, to enjoy the college experience, to be there for her teammates, you know, drink in all the fan adoration for sure. Obviously, that was a part of it. But the goal was first cut down the nets in Vegas, then cut down the nets in New Orleans. And we know she got to check every single solitary box except a Final Four victory. So it was great stuff. It was great stuff. Other things happening around the world of sports. This kind of slipped under the radar. CBS has not renewed the contract of Dan Fouts. And this guy is really good. I mean, he is walking knowledge. I know everybody gets excited about the flavor of the day and Tony Romo getting paid more to be an analyst this year than he made as a quarterback. And by the way, that's it. The first pick is in. Sabrina Ionescu goes number one to the Liberty. They've got Kathy Engelbert, the new commissioner. making the announcement. Obviously, I don't have the sound up. That would be kind of strange. And now you start to see the highlights as the only player that went 2,000, 1,000, 1,000. And just like we were speaking, they're now doing a segment on pick and roll and passing. And this is really cool. So, yeah, it's official. Time to get my Liberty jersey or some Liberty gear on back order. Because I'd imagine that the fans in New York are going to be pretty excited. Now, I think someone said she signed an endorsement deal, but not for her sneaker. I forgot what that was. This is really strange because normally we're also trained. Commissioner makes the announcement. You get the hug, you get the hat, you get the jersey. But now you got Sabrina talking from Walnut Creek with her family in the background. And Commish Kathy, I think she's based out of New York. And now you've got Holly Rowe and Rebecca Lobo. And this is pretty cool stuff. This is the stuff where you get goosebumps. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. And so now Dallas is on the clock and will in fact it be an exacta of Oregon players with Sabrina and Sabali. So we will keep you posted, especially for those of you who are still at work, don't have access to a TV monitor, or if you're driving around. Like I said, when the picks come in, we'll let you know. I wanted to get back to Fouts for a minute because there was a column in today's New York Post which featured Sabrina on the back page, a photo of her as Lady Liberty. Phil Mushnick wrote a piece titled, "This is not the kind of guy CBS should be firing." And he pointed out something I'd noticed. During the course of last season, and as Mushnick noted, Fouts was sentenced to call a lot of Jet games because each network has their teams in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or whatever, and then they determine what the national game of the week is. And, you know, you get Nance and you get Romo. Obviously the number one team for NBC, you get Al Michaels and you get Collinsworth, and from ABC and on down. And Fouts frequently got to call Jet games with a New York-based Ian Eagle, who got his start many, many years ago just as a local broadcaster who also used to appear on the Howard Stern show. And now he's a national guy. You hear him on all the national shows. He's got a great personality, knows his stuff, as polished as a broadcaster as you're going to find. And, Fouts, within the industry people who critique broadcasters, I mean, he's got an impeccable reputation as a guy who just simply doesn't lean on stats. He's an analyst extraordinaire, and a lot of people are referring to this as just a weak, short-sighted decision. And, you know, you remember when Fouts would work with Keith Jackson? He also did play-by-play, and, you know, that lens, which is often a quarterback. I mean, we talked about the number one guy, Sims. And, now Romo in his day, Fouts, and, Collinsworth is a receiver, maybe a slight exception there, but quite often it was the quarterback, but just completely lacking vision there. And, I wonder, first of all, how old is Fouts? He was drafted in 73, so that would have made him born about 51, which means he's 9 years older than me, so he's 68 or 69. Born, there you go, June 10th, 1951. He's 68, going to turn 69 years old. But they're not asking him to play quarterback. They're asking him to call games, which he's been a part of from his Pac-8 days through his Hall of Fame NFL career. And he's also done college. He's done pro. And that's just one of those decisions where is it ageist? Is there somebody new calling the shots who doesn't get who Dan Fouts is? But the jerk store called. They're running out of them. Another article I was reading today, first of all, I mentioned it the tail end of yesterday's show. Jeff Schwartz, the former offensive lineman for the Duck, played in the NFL, played with the Giants as well. And he wrote an article about Justin Herbert and his prospects. And he did a real deep dive. So one of the things I liked about it is it was really all-encompassing. Not only that, but it was accompanied by video. So for those who are wondering about pocket presence, progressions, moving to either side, you know, outside the pocket, his ability to run, and you know, also the thing I thought that Jeff did that was really credible was you know, he also pointed out that you know, some of the imperfections and maybe times Justin didn't pull the trigger or made an improper decision. I just, you know, for many of us who are pretty stoked to see Herbert play at the next level, I thought, even though, and he prefaces it, he's like, yeah, I'm an Oregon Duck, but I thought his evaluation was as spot on as any I've seen. So you could go to at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, GEOFFSCHWARTZ. And yeah, it's really cool, really well done. So, they're doing very well. All right, before we take a break and get moving along here at the as we're waiting on the second pick in the WNBA draft, quick shout out to our friends at Small World Auto, conveniently located at 2090 West 11th in Eugene, and they are still open for business. This is their 50th anniversary, and they have been so appreciative. And by the way, Satu Sabali is in fact the number two pick of the WNBA draft to the Dallas Wings. And they conveniently had some wing. Oh, Satu is here in Eugene. Where the hell did I say she was? In Dallas? Maybe I got confused when I was listening. She's got her sister there and some family member. And now they start to talk about her magnificent skill set, her length. They show her making some defensive plays, that she's got the skills of a guard, which we've been talking about for a couple of years, her ability to drive the ball with either hand to the bucket and finish with either hand, how unselfish she is, great court vision, and of course, let's not forget that she could also flat out just stand there and sting it from downtown. So there you go, folks, from never having a first round draft pick, from having the top two at the top of the draft. All right, let's get back to what I was talking about. Our friends at Small World Auto, 2090 West 11th in Eugene, a family owned automotive service center featuring a state of the art 13 service bay repair shop. They encourage you to keep up on those scheduled maintenance checkpoints. But if you're to the point where your car needs service, call Small World Auto, 228-9774. And again, celebrating a 50th anniversary at the same location. And Marty and his staff wanted me to pass along their appreciation for their loyal customers. And if you are not yet a member of the Small World family, they would absolutely love to have you. All right, break time. Let's do that. And when we come back, because of the way this draft is moving. Before she gets picked, I'd like for you to hear what Ruthie Hebert had to say about her career, looking forward to this draft, what she's doing during this most unique time in history, and her chat from a teleconference yesterday, all coming your way next, 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
I don't know that Justin Herbert going before Tua is that much of a shock from just a football standpoint. And I understand that, you know, I personally prefer Tua in terms of football ability. And I think a lot of people have evaluated this quarterback class. Maybe even almost all of them feel that way. But I do know there are some people who have believed that Justin Herbert is every bit or at least close to the prospect that Tua is.
All right, welcome back. That is Field Yates talking about Tua versus Herbert. As we welcome you back to Sports Talk in the 4 o'clock hour on 95.3 The Score. First two picks of the WNBA draft went Ducks, as expected. Both cases at two, like you just heard Nick say. Satu Sabali goes to the Dallas Wings after Sabrina had gone one to the New York Liberty. And by the way, I was looking up the last time or how frequently there had been the top picks from the same school. And Nick mentioned Breanna Stewart and Mariah Jefferson. UConn actually had the first three picks that year with Morgan Tuck. And then you have to go back to 2002 when Sue Bird out of UConn was the top overall pick and Swin Cash went second. So history has been made. And Texas A&M's Chinity Carter is going to the Atlanta Dream with the that's the fourth pick. I was actually prepping for the show. I missed who went third. But either way, folks, good to have you along during this just really, really odd time in our lives. We're talking, obviously, draft. We talked NFL draft a little earlier with Tony Pauline of the Believe Podcast Network, who he's one of those guys who hunkers on down. He's a big-time analyst for ProFootballNetwork.com. And he provided us some real fun insight as to what he thought of Justin, what he thought about the quarterback competition with the Raiders, with Marcus Mariota now entering the fray, what he thought about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow and how his game transferred, the entirety of the draft process, not to mention the specifics, needs, and the direction he thought that the Seahawks, the Vegas Raiders, and the San Francisco 49ers would be going in. All right, I wanted to get to this. They're on to the fifth pick. So yesterday, not only Satu, but Ruthie Hebert held a Zoom teleconference with members of the media who wanted to kind of get some final thoughts before this magical day in her life. And here's what the outstanding center had to say, 95-3, The Score.
We haven't seen you since Las Vegas. I guess what's been kind of your range of emotions with everything that's happened since then, and what have you been doing since that point?
Yeah, a lot of emotions. Like when we were told that the season was over, you know, I was really sad, and I was like, well, because you kind of like prepare yourself for your senior year and like, okay, all this stuff, and then it just ends. It was pretty sad, but after a while, we kind of saw everything that was going on and how serious this virus was. So kind of understanding. And now I'm just excited for tomorrow. And I'm in Alaska with my parents. So it's just been, you know, a lot of stuff going on, but it's been really fun.
And the obvious question is, what are your thoughts on the draft and just the possibility, I guess, that you could reunite with Sabrina or Satu somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really excited for the draft and to see where I end up and to see where, you know, Sabrina and Satu end up as well. So I'm just excited for tomorrow, and I really just can't wait to see where we all end up.
All right, let's go to Nick Krupke next. Once again, let's keep it to one question so we can try and get to as many people as possible. Nick?
You bet. Ruthie, obviously, since you guys didn't get a chance to go into the NCAA tournament and do that unfinished business, how much is tomorrow a celebration for what the trio of you guys accomplished with Oregon basketball? You're going to be all over TV screens and be kind of the new face of the league.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I know that Satu and Sabrina both are really excited, so it's going to be fun, and I know we're going to be texting each other and calling each other, hopefully, and just celebrating with each other, and I'm hoping that there's a time where we can all see each other again in Eugene or somewhere we can just all, you know, have one last little.
Just was wondering, you know, what kind of communication you've had with Sabrina and Satu through this, you know, process from things ending to, you know, draft night, and just what it's been like for the three of you together trying to navigate this very new process of endorsements and agents and team meetings and that whole other aspect of things in addition to
basketball. Quite a bit with both. I mean, when I was in Eugene, Satu was still in Eugene, so we would work out together and, you know, yoga together and hang out together. And Sabrina and I have just been texting and Snapchatting all the time. Like yesterday, we watched the R stories and Snapchat each other and FaceTime each other about that. So quite a bit of talking about everything that's going on right now. And it's so nice to be able to have them there and talk to them about the same things I'm going through that they're going through.
Hey, Ruthie, I guess when you see the trade with New York yesterday, the Tina Charles trade, am I going to be going to New York with Sabrina? Kind of what's your mindset with that? And have you thought much about the possibility of playing with her in the WNBA?
I think about playing with her forever because she's just one of my favorite best friends and such a good player. But I'm just kind of trying to keep everything open and just like, okay, you know, wherever I go, it's going to be fun. I'm going to have a great time. It's a great opportunity. It's just like such a blessing to be able to be drafted.
Hey, Ruthie, thanks for doing this.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, so my question, I talked to both Satu and then Maria Taylor, and they both talked about just the momentum that your class at Oregon is going to carry with them into the WNBA as far as fans. So how do you feel like you at Oregon almost redefined, you brought in so many just basketball fans, not women's college basketball fans. So how are you looking forward to doing that to the same level sort of at the WNBA? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just like been fun. So I'm just hoping that people notice that. And I know Oregon fans are going to travel to wherever all of us go. So it's going to be fun. Hopefully that brings whatever city you're in, more people to come. And it's just so fun to be able to see, you know, places grow and people like you for basketball, but also want to talk to you after the games and like help you out. Like so many fans at Oregon wanted to just like, hey, if you want us to bake you something or anything like that, like they're just such good, genuine people. So bringing that to the WNBA is going to be so fun. And I hope that it's not just our teams, it's every single team in WNBA and women's sports.
Ruthie, obviously, you know, the current situation isn't necessarily ideal, but what does it mean for you to be back home in Alaska for while the draft's happening? Obviously there's not a ton of talent from Alaska that comes out. I was in high school when like Jessica Moore was playing for UConn. But just what's that mean for you and your family and community out there?
It's huge. I'm just so excited to be here, and I know that I can have all my family in my house, but it's still going to be able to be fun to be here. And I never thought in a million years I'd be in the WNBA draft in Fairbanks. So it's just going to be fun and exciting, and it's just good to know that I have, like, my people around me to celebrate with.
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Okay, Ruthie, I'm with High Post Hoops, and I'd like to know who you talked to around the WNBA to get you prepared for what to expect, and what are you expecting?
Like coaches?
Coaches, players.
I talked to multiple coaches, and I think they all just tell me they all watch me in college, and they're just happy and excited and just kind of to enjoy the process and have fun. So it's just been fun to be able to talk to different people and see their insights on me and see what they think and how confident they are that, you know, I'll be successful in the next level. And, you know, Coach Graves calls me a lot and we talk and he's confident in me too. So it's just really nice to be able to have that little, you know, cushion that's like, okay, I know people believe in me. I know they think I'm ready for the pros. So it's just really exciting.
Good luck, Ruthie.
Thank you.
All right, Ruthie, how you doing? It's Demetrius from Anchorage.
Hi, I'm good.
All right, Ruthie, you had a pretty big game against the USA senior national team last November. But I know there are still, you know, a lot of there's still a lot of questions about how your game might translate to the WNBA. What did that game do for your confidence? And what do you think people should take away from that game as far as how your game could potentially translate to the next level?
I think I played pretty well in that game. I know that I've been invited to multiple USA camps and stuff and played with Sylvie Faust and Charles, great players like that. So I think I'm confident and know that I can play with those great players and that they're just like whatever team I go to, the older players will be role models to me to help me out just like they did at the USA camp. So I think I'm really excited to go to next level and I think that my game will be fine there.
Hey, Ruthie. Thanks so much for doing this. I'm just wondering, you mentioned you had some phone calls with Coach Graves. Just wondering, what were those phone calls like and what kind of advice has he given you as you head into draft night and then to your WNBA career?
Yeah, I think he's like more excited than any of us for the draft. So it's just fun. And he's been calling me since everything got canceled. But he's just been saying like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see where you go. And you're going to do great in the next level. And just kind of talking about games I've played and all that kind of stuff. So just having him there and having him so excited for me and Satu and Sab has just been great and a little extra energy right now.
Hey, Ruthie, thanks so much for doing this. What I want to know is, what was Kelly Graves' system like and how do you think it's prepared you for your next step in the WNBA?
I think he has a great system. He's a great coach and he never tells you what you want to hear. So that's really nice because you know what you're doing wrong, definitely, and you also know what you're doing right and what's going to work. So I think he's always kind of treated us like pros in multiple ways, like he treated us like women. He talks to us like adults. So that's been really nice. And just his system, the way we play the game, I think is going to translate well to the pro level, and having a coach there like who could definitely be a professional coach has just helped a lot.
Thanks so much.
Of course.
Hey, Ruthie, one question I forgot to ask you yesterday on radio was, how did Sabrina, as demanding as she was, particularly of you over 4 years, how hard was that for you to deal with on the day-to-day over the course of time? I'm sure you kind of got accustomed to it, but how did you, as a teammate, not necessarily tune that out? Clearly, you worked together phenomenally, but like, there are people who couldn't maybe not handle that, and that she's very demanding. So how were you able to handle that at the onset and not be like, yeah, it's just not going to work for me?
Yeah. Sometimes my freshman year, I was like, this girl's crazy. But after a while, it's just like, dang, everything she tells me to do, I'm like she would tell me to do something in practice the next time down the floor and I'd do it and we'd score. And she'd be like, yeah, I told you so. And I was like, okay, maybe this girl has something going for her. So after that, I just kind of knew that she wanted me to succeed as much as she wanted herself to succeed. And that was really big. So ever since then, I think it's just like, okay, Sabrina demands the best for me. That means she cares about me. That means she knows what I'm capable of. So I'm going to ride with her.
Ruthie Hebert addressing the media prior to today's draft. Let's break back. More sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
There's much talk about fans in the stands, but this has to be safe for the participants first and foremost. It has to be okay for 125 young men or 20 young women to be in close proximity in a locker room and be comfortable that they're not going to be sharing the disease. So, you know, that means testing and taking temperatures and sanitizing locker rooms in ways that they haven't probably been sanitized before.
There you have Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, on what it will take to get college sports back. And yeah, we keep hearing our play before fans and get the economy going. But yeah, safety. If there's no testing and there's no vaccine, are you letting your kid play college sport? It's like, yeah, you're not going out there. Sorry, dude. Anyway. WNBA draft moving along very much as expected, with Oregon getting the 1-2 punch, Sabrina Ionescu to the New York Liberty. Give me Liberty or give me a point guard.
Satu Sabali goes second to the Dallas Wings. Baylor's incredible frontliner, Lauren Cox, 3 to Indiana. Chenity Carter, A&M, joins Maite Cazorla with the Atlanta Dream. Bella Alari, the swing player from Princeton, goes to Dallas as well. South Carolina, you know, member of that great Gamecock team who was number one almost all season long. Makia Herbert-Harrigan to Minnesota. And back-to-back Gamers, Tyasha Harris goes to Dallas. And the eighth pick, the Chicago Sky, are now on the clock. And I'm going to be very curious with many of you from around here with the next pick because of that trade between Dallas via Las Vegas. The New York Liberty have a second top 10 pick in this draft. And a lot of folks, maybe leading with their heart, are wondering if, in fact, there won't be a continuation of the last 4 years, and that the young woman from Walnut Creek in Fairbanks, Alaska, who spent the last 4 years rewriting the record books and becoming rock stars in Eugene, will not be taking up residence next in Brooklyn, playing for the New York Liberty.
Hi, Steve. Hold on. I wanted to jump in here for a sec. I know you're watching the draft on TV and you doing all of the talking. You can't really listen to everything. But they just had Sue Bird on TV doing a breakdown of Satu's game using highlights from the USA Oregon game, and it was, you know, talking about how she's an explosive player. She's finishing over centers who are, you know, taller than her, and she's taking advantage of these areas that some players don't normally go into. And right at the end of that clip, they Sue Bird highlights herself on the film and says, "Do you know what this is? That's the face of defeat right there." Because Sue Bird she had nothing to do on that play other than watch Satu drive in and score. It was late in the fourth quarter when the Ducks were just kind of starting to pull away and get everybody thinking, oh, wow, this college team is going to beat a team of professionals. So that was a really cool thing for me to be able to just, you know, turn the sound on for a second, be able to hear that. Because once I noticed it was the Team USA game that they were pulling from, I figured I got to listen to this.
Yeah, well, for those of us who were there that night after the game, Sue Bird went up and addressed the media, and she was so gracious and saw the big picture and so classy and just praised the team, the atmosphere, the fans, the program, the coach to high heaven. You know, she is one of the major faces of women's basketball in this country. And I was watching her and I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd really like to be able to hear what she's saying. So nice addition there, Nick.
All right.
2848571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What do you say we take a quick call and bring in Steven? Steven, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Steve Cannon. I want to say, buddy, what do you think of Sabrina, the Oregon Duck player that used to play for the Oregon Ducks? And what about Ruthie? Do you think they both should play in the same area for the women's NBA in New York? Or what's the best place for them to both play?
All right. Appreciate the call, Steve. We know that Sabrina has already been drafted by the Liberty, and the eighth pick is next. And we will learn within the next 10 minutes or so if Ruthie Hebert will be joining her friend, former roommate, and longtime teammate in the Big Apple playing for the Liberty. All right. I've only got two. So, folks, it's that time on a Friday, plus 1 hour. When we roll out the Crunch Time Tool Shed, those folks from the world of sports and sometimes other places where people say and do things that you just shake your head and you wonder. But first, what do you say we get the landlord with the key to open the Crunch Time Tool Shed?
I love this city. I love being a Yankee.
So
Let's start with Dallas Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott. So he's playing the whole, it wasn't that big of a gathering, but it clearly was more than the allowed 10, according to Texas guidelines. As you know, we're in the midst of the biggest pandemic America has seen in 100 years. And if you saw some of the TMZ shots, if that was a dinner party for 8 people, I've seen bar mitzvahs for 50 people less elaborate and catered. And if he was so positive, he was within the proper safety guidelines. You know, why were police called? Think about it. You got this huge home, fewer than 10 people. I don't think that's so noticeable to the point where somebody felt it necessary to alert the authorities. And of course, Zeke Elliott was there because it's the off season and he's got to find some level of shenanigans. The duet was also videoed working out with Dez Bryant 2 weeks ago, arm in arm in a photo, not proper social distancing. So Ruthie Hebert will not be going. By the way, I'm going to break in here. Ruthie Hebert will not be teaming up with Sabrina with the New York Liberty because she just went 8th to the Chicago Sky. So when she was originally projected as the 11th pick in some early week mock drafts, I mean, Sabrina, when asked about that during her teleconference, flat out said she ain't going to last that long. So she is Chi-Town bound. So from Fairbanks to Eugene to Chicago, from Walnut Creek to Eugene to Brooklyn, from Germany to Eugene to Dallas, there are your three Ducks picked in the first round. All right, I've got to get my last tool shed nominee in, former NASCAR driver Kyle Larson. So he's the rocket scientist who was taking part in a live-streamed virtual race, and when he thought his connection went down, reverted immediately to dropping an M-bomb, because who doesn't go there when technology fails? The 27-year-old was in the final year of his contract with Ganassi Racing, and as NASCAR shut down, they turned to the creation of this iRacing League, and in real time after his utterance, watched every single solitary one of his sponsors drop him, from McDonald's, Credit One Bank, and the financial services tech company Fiserv. Some estimate, with Larson a talented up-and-comer, this could have been an eight-figure blunder. He was rumored to be joining Tony Stewart's race team and might have had a shot to replace seven-time NASCAR champ Jimmy Johnson at Hendrick Motorsports. And like most have said, the way he so easily defaulted to that word, this wasn't no slip-up, and genius, I hope it was worth it. I think I'm going to go with Mr. N-bomb, Kyle Larson, there. And before we wrap, let's bring him back out and close the Crunch Time Tool Shed.
My only focus is to play baseball, and to play baseball the right way. That was silly and unprofessional.
He gone!
Genius. All right. That's a wrap. We'll be back with the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk next. 95.3 The Score.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!